2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to each of you. I hope that and trust that you had a good week last week. I know it was a hot one. Every time we turned around, it seemed like it was just hot. And we put an air conditioner, one of those window air conditioners, in each one of our windows. We have two in our bedroom. And it was so hot in our house, the kids, we set up tent just right there in our bedroom, and so they slept there all week this week. And so last night it finally cooled down. I said, okay, guys, time to go to your room. No, we don't want to, you know. So it was an eventful week this week. I got all kinds of things happened to me. It was kind of interesting. Some of you know, some of you don't know, but last Sunday we were going to go to Taganic Falls and go for a hike, and poor Heidi, not poor, but Heidi didn't have any of those water shoes to walk in the water, and so we stopped by Walmart. They didn't have our size, so we went to Target, and Megan and Heidi jumped out, and Megan got her finger stuck in the door at Target last week, and we had to go to the hospital. It practically almost severed it, and so we had to go to the doctor and get her hand put together, and had a plastic surgeon come in, and anyways, we went and saw the doctor yesterday, and they said it's going to be just fine. And so I was just so praising the Lord of how God takes the, what an awesome organism we have, huh? It heals itself. That was just so wonderful. And then on top of it off, my transmission started slipping this last week. So that's in the shop right now, and we're driving around in our little Ford Focus, all five of us. And then Brother Bob here loaned me his truck this last week so I can clean out my backyard. It's so much stuff piled up from the year, and I filled the back of the truck up, and had Michaela and Megan. They were so excited to ride in a big old Dodge pickup, and it was nice and sunny and bright and hot when I left, and on the way back, it started downpouring. That was what, Friday or Thursday? You guys saw it. It was just pouring rain, and on the way back home, oh no, I left all four windows open of my little car. And it got filled with water, and it got so wet in there, it damaged my radio, so my CD player doesn't work now. And I'm still soaking up the water out of my car. I just had one of those weeks, you know? And I have to look back and laugh and say, oh, well, it's life. You know, it's just a part of life, you know? Just stiff upper lip and go on, you know? So, anyways, I just praise the Lord for His goodness. I hope that you're happy today. I'm happy. We got our health, and the Lord's good to us, and he's always blessing. He wants to give and so forth. But anyways, that's right. He sees us through our little problems. So, anyways, let's have a word of prayer as we get started here. Father in heaven, it's a privilege that we have. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. We thank you for your care. We ask your blessing upon this part of the service today. Bless the sermon. May your words be glorified. May you speak today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, by the clock, we have 5 minutes. I don't know if I'll be able to finish the sermon in 5 minutes, so you're going to have to give me some liberty to take us over time. Today, we're going to look at growing in Christ, fundamental number 28, number 11. And if you're all well, it's the 27 fundamental, well, now it's the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And as of the last meeting we had of the GC session, they put together or they finalized the 28th fundamental, which is number 11 in the fundamental beliefs, and it's called growing in Christ. So we're going to look at that today, growing in Christ. You may remember the little yellow book that you got when you were baptized. You may have it in your library. Well, the cover's changed. Nothing inside has changed other than they have Fundamental 28, which is number 11. Nothing's changed as far as the wording. They didn't revamp any of that. But let me just say this today. I've heard people say, oh, come on, is there anything else we need to know? I mean, come on, friends. If we aren't growing in knowledge of Scripture, then friends, we aren't doing our job. Amen? And we must always continually be growing in the knowledge of Scripture. And if we just settle down and say, that's it, there's all to know, let me tell you something, friends. We are not God's church. All right? So we must be continuing to grow in the knowledge of grace and understanding of His Word. And praise be to God that there is more in His Word that we have to come to an understanding of. Amen? We're not done. Just because we have a statement of belief doesn't mean that we have all knowledge of Scripture. And let me just say this. It doesn't mean that we're 100% accurate either. If we ever say that we're 100% accurate, friends, we got to be careful. But I do believe there's enough Scripture and enough evidence to say that we can put a foundation of truth. Because and Paul writing his letter to Timothy said the church is the foundation or the pillar of truth. So there is an accountability for God's truth and having an understanding of that. Amen? So today we're going to look at growing in Christ. And if you open up your bulletin, you'll find a little green sheet in there. And that's the statement of belief, the new one. Number 11, but fundamental 28, okay? The statement of belief, it says this. If you don't mind, I'm going to move rather quickly today. But it says, growing in Christ. It says, by His death on the cross, Jesus triumphed over the forces of evil. He subjugated the demonic spirits during His earthly ministry and has broken their power and made certain their ultimate doom. Jesus' victory gives us victory over the evil forces that still seek to control us as we walk with Him in peace, joy, and assurance of His love. Now the Holy Spirit dwells within us and empowers us. Continually committed to Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we are set free from the burden of our past deeds. No longer do we live in darkness, fear of evil powers, ignorance, and meaninglessness of our former way of life. In this new freedom in Jesus, we are called to what? Grow into the likeness of His character, communing with Him in daily prayer, feeding on His Word, meditating on it, and on His providence, singing His praises, gathering together for worship, and participating in the mission of the church. As we give ourselves in loving service to those around us and in witnessing to His salvation, His constant presence is with us through the Spirit. With us through the Spirit transforms every moment and every task into a spiritual experience. I don't have a hard time with that. I believe that it's a good fundamental to put our foundation upon. We're going to walk through this just for a moment today, and some of the growing in Christ is redundant. It's not bad. It's just that we've been over it in the past few months. I'm not going to delve into it and seek scriptural advance in it because we've talked about it many times. So I'm going to highlight the things that I haven't talked about recently and looking at growing in Christ. But I want to look at four points that they made in this new statement of the new book that they have out now. One is, by His death on the cross. They underline, by the death on His cross, Jesus has triumphed over all evil. Can you say amen to that? When Jesus died on the cross, He took care of evil for us. He subjugated demonic spirits and broken their power. Amen? By the death on the cross, Jesus had taken wicked spirits and He's made them subject. And it's interesting. Remember, when the disciples were sent out, they came back rejoicing and they said, even the spirits are subject to us. Jesus said, don't rejoice that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that what? Your names are written in heaven. Praise be to God, amen, that Satan himself is subject to us under the authority and the banner of Jesus. What do you say to that? And Jesus, by dying on the cross, made certain their destruction. It is good news. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that Satan and all the wicked angels will finally be destroyed. No more sin, no more pain, no more suffering. All because of what Christ did at Calvary. Amen? And because of Christ's death on the cross, Christ came to this world and accomplished victory over evil. And because Christ has overcome evil, guess what? The victory over evil is ours. Amen? The victory over sin is ours. Oh, friends, you remember when God talked to Cain. He said, look, Cain, He said, evil is knocking at your door, but you must rule over it. Or sin is knocking at your door. And who is that sin? The devil. He was saying the devil is knocking at your door. Just like when He talked to Peter. He said, the devil desires to sift you as what? As wheat. But I have prayed for you. Isn't it interesting that all of us are intertwined or engaged in a spiritual warfare, whether we like it or not? Satan is out to destroy us, but because Christ overcome sin and has overcome the devil, we too can be overcomers of the devil. Amen? Also, too, Christ sets us free from the past burdens and deeds. Amen. We are no longer subject to the past, but we are set free. And by our past deeds, we are set free. And thus, today, we have victory in Jesus, like we talked about last week. No longer are we in darkness. Jesus is the light of what? The world, friends. Jesus came to reveal light. No wonder are we wandering, groping about in darkness. God, Jesus, has given us His Word. He's given us His Son that we may have the light to walk in the path of righteousness. No longer do we have to fear Satan. Amen? He's a defeated foe. And friends, if that's not good news, I don't know what good news is. Right? And finally, Jesus, before He left, He gave us the gift of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. It empowers us. Ephesians chapter 3, it says, we overcome by the Spirit of Christ within us. The power that transforms the heart and the life is the Spirit of Christ. We are overcomers because of the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us. That's power to us. You friends, I wake up every day and I'm beginning to realize more and more and more and more that I am not subject to sin, but sin is subject to me. Does that make sense? I am no longer subject to sin, but sin is subject to me. There is nothing that I can't overcome in the power of Jesus. Amen? Nothing. And I'm starting to grasp this and comprehend this more and more. It's a decision that I can walk with today, that I will be faithful to Christ, that I will choose not to serve sin, and that I will walk empowered and free from it. Friends, we are living a lie when we say we can't overcome sin. Because Jesus came to set what? Captives free. Isn't that right? And He gave us His Holy Spirit to do so. This new freedom in Jesus, point number four, this new freedom in Jesus calls us to grow in the likeness and His character. In other words, as we just read here in 2 Corinthians, was that the verse? Yeah, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Read the scripture along with me again. It says, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In other words, we see dimly the glory of God. But notice what He continues on to say here. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same what? Image. Do you see what's happening here? We as Christians are being changed into the likeness of God. And Paul stated, he says, we see now darkly in a glass, but then what? Face to face. Why? Because we have been transformed. In other words, the Christian experience is to continually to grow and grow and grow and to become more like Christ. Friends, if you are not growing, then you are not being Christ-like. We need to grow in Christ Jesus. Amen? Jesus came to this world to set you free, to redeem you, to perfect you, to save you. And friends, there's no reason why we cannot grow in the likeness of Christ here on planet Earth. And I hear Christians too many times say, oh, it's impossible, I can't do it. Oh, this sin has got a hold on me. You know, the devil's on my back, blah, blah. Friends, we can't talk like that. Ellen White tells us that we need to talk and speak as though our faith is what? Invincible. Don't act and talk as though you're defeated every day, but act as though your faith is invincible. In other words, everything is possible with Jesus. Nothing is impossible, right? With God, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And so this verse continues on. It says, are changed in the same image from glory to glory. I like this. It's a step by step by which we grow in Jesus Christ. Friends, if you are not growing in Jesus, then you are not in relationship with Christ. That's the bottom line. If you are not growing in Jesus, then you are not in a constant relationship with Jesus. Because, friends, Jesus changes the life. Jesus transforms. Jesus points out sin. Jesus brings conviction. And friends, every time we come to the foot of the cross, we look up and we say, Lord, forgive me. Jesus draws us to the cross. He says, if I'm lifted up, what will I do? We'll draw all men. See, Christ is about drawing us to Him. And the closer we become to Jesus, or the closer we get to Jesus, the more like we become of Him. Right? And friends, if we're wandering around cursing and swearing and arguing and being concerned about earthly things and all that stuff, then friends, we are not growing in the likeness of Jesus. Amen. Growing in the likeness of Christ. And then it goes on to say, the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here it is again, empowered by Christ to be, or empowered by the Holy Spirit, given by Christ to become like Him. Friends, we are known by our what? By our fruits. And friends, if people don't see Jesus in us, then we don't have Jesus. We must be a representative, a replication, if you will, of the ministry and the life of Christ. People need to see Jesus in us. I've been over this 100 times, I know that. So this freedom in Jesus, in order to continue in this freedom of Jesus, we need daily communion with Him, prayer, Bible study, singing of His praises, gathering together, participating in church mission, service to others, in other words, witnessing. That's the freedom in Jesus. Now we're going to look at the hallmarks of growing in Christ. In other words, the things that I believe and what this is, well, actually, this growing in Christ in our fundamental, they mark out the example of growing in Christ. In other words, what should be evident in us. Now, again, I've talked about some of these things. I'm not going to repeat them over, but I will mention Scripture for time's sake today. Number one, they pointed out, the hallmarks of growing in Christ is a life of the Spirit, a life in the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit, right? In John chapter 3, did not Jesus talk to Nicodemus and said, in order for you, right? Jesus came. Remember what Nicodemus said? He comes to him, good master. You know, he's talking to him. He wants the question. Jesus comes right to the point. He knows what's on the man's mind. He, rather than beating around the bush, he says, look, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And the man's confused. He's saying, how can, when I'm old, can I crawl back into my mother's womb again and be born again? Friends, his mind was where? Earthly things. Jesus had to lift his mind up, point him to heavenly things and say, look, unless you are born of water and in spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, we must be empowered, transformed by the Spirit of Christ in the heart. Amen. I believe Nicodemus is going to heaven. Amen. He grasped. He got a hold of that. And he says, I need to be born again. In other words, it's not by my worldly walk and by what I do. It must be transformation of the heart and the life. And of course, John, the Gospel of John points out the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He guides us into truth. He convicts us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, you might want to write this down. Because of the Spirit, we become sons of God. And when he says sons of God, he's including sons and daughters of God. In other words, friends, just remember when we talked about what must I do to be saved last week? You remember there was the rich ruler who said, I had too much wealth, forget it, I don't like it. But Zacchaeus, he gave all. And what did Jesus say of him? Today I tell you, he is the son of who? Abraham. Do you see the principle here? When the Spirit of Christ comes in, we are adopted, we are grafted in to the lineage of Christ, and now we become joint heirs with Christ and of Abraham to inherit eternal life. Wonderful news for us today. Because of the Spirit of Christ, doesn't matter if you're black or white, yellow, green, purple, whatever you are, nationality, creed, as Paul stated, Greek, Jew, whatever, free, bond, we are all one in Jesus. And so today, friends, because of the Spirit of Christ, we have become children of God. Amen. Wonderful news. Now let me read this little quote here to you. I hope you don't mind reading quotes. I like quotes. Desire of Ages 173, it says, when the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. Sinful thoughts are put away. Evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace takes place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness, and the countenance reflects the light of heaven. No one sees the hand that lifts the burden or beholds the light descended from the courts above. The blessing comes when by faith the soul surrenders itself to God. Then that power which no human eye can see creates a new being in the image of God. What is that power? It's the Holy Spirit. Desire of Ages, page 173. Go home and read that today. When the Spirit of God takes possession, it renews us. Amen? All right. Number two, a life of love and unity. reconciled to God and to our fellow man. In other words, if we are to grow into Christ, an identity of growing in Christ is that we will have love and unity in the life. Love for our fellow man and a desire for unity where? In God's church. Christ cannot reside where a place is divided. Amen? We must have unity. We must have love in the heart. I don't care if you're black or yellow. I need to have love for you. I don't care if your enemies hate me. I'm going to love my enemies. You see, friends, it puts away all consideration of self and it makes the person next to you greater. Right? And Jesus said when the man came up to him, he says, Lord, who's my enemy? He gave him the wonderful parable. What was it? The Good Samaritan. Right? He says, that man that's lying in the ditch there, that's your neighbor. Who is that guy? I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Jews walked by, and yet the Samaritan had more care for the Jew than the Jew had for himself. Right? The church sometimes doesn't care, right? But friends, Jesus says to us and encourages us that if we're going to be good Samaritans, who is our neighbor? It's everybody. It's the world around us, and especially God's church. We are to take care of each other. Amen? If we followed that principle in the book of Acts where they sold and gave everything so the gospel, and they said they divided evenly. Nobody was poor. Nobody lacked nothing in the church. Oh, friends, the importance of tithe and offerings. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says that because of sin we have been separated from God. You guys remember that verse? Our sins have separated us from God. But remember this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. You should be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we were separated from God by our sin, but because of the death of Jesus, we were reconciled back to God through his atonement, through his sacrifice of Jesus. Isn't that good news? And now he has given to us what? The ministry. What is the word? The ministry of what? Reconciliation. It is our job. It is our obligation to bring people to Jesus. How can we bring people to Jesus if we're fighting amongst ourselves? We can't do it. We need to be reconciled to our fellow man, to our fellow brethren, the people out in the world. Friends, he has given us a responsibility of unity and love for one another. And friends, if you don't have love for one another, then you are not Christ. If you are not encouraging unity, then you are not of Christ. That's what God says. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Another hallmark of growing in Christ, a life of love and unity with God and our fellow man. Maybe some of the sins that we need to confess are those of disunity, hurting that of another brother or sister. The gospel is about love and unity. Did not Jesus die to bring the world unity and love? And finally, Jesus says in John 13, even as I have loved you, love what? Love one another. You know what that word love is all about? It's a powerful word. My little eyes peep up in the morning and I see my wife wake up. I finally say, one of the first things I want to get out in the morning, hey, honey, I love you. You know, and before I go to bed, you know, my bed, well, you know, I get home late sometimes and all the kids are sleeping. I will do this till the day I die, as long as they'll let me, and as long as there's, I will go and kiss each one of them on the forehead and tell them they love me, because friends, I don't want to die and not having my children or my family knowing that I love them or not. I don't want them questioning that, right? So I go to each one, I'll take my little flashlight so I don't wake them up, and I'll go and tuck them in, make sure they're all straightened out. Tell them I love them, give them a hug, and maybe lay my hand on them, have a little prayer for them, come home, my wife may be asleep. But I am going to tell my family I love them, because if I die, I want them to know with surety that I love them. Amen. And friends, we ought to be doing that with our fellow brethren and sister in the congregations, amen? Shouldn't we go about telling each other, hey brother, I love you, how are you doing today? Putting your arm of care about them, we care for you, we love you. And friends, people need to walk into these front doors knowing that we love them. Jesus says, as I have loved you, go and love one another. It's easy to love the ones that love us, but what about our enemies, right? Jesus said, love your enemies. Didn't he say that? Love your enemies. Love those that despitefully hate you and use you and abuse you. Love them back. By thus you will be doing what? Heaping hot coals upon their head. Amen. Love for one another is a powerful tool by which God has given us to win many to God. Hallmark number three, a life of study. The study of God's scriptures. If we are going to be growing in Christ, we must be growing in the study of His Word. Amen. And I'm so thankful that I haven't come to a complete knowledge yet of Scripture. I would be bored with it and set it aside. It's wonderful. Some of you people know things more than I do, and sometimes I know more than you do. It's great. You didn't hear that before? No, it's the first time. It's wonderful to be able to dialogue of new Scripture, new insights of God's Word, isn't it? It's powerful. And without going into much dialogue, we talked about this just recently, a life of study of God's Word. Friend, if you are going to grow in Christ, then you must be feeding off the Word of God. Amen. You must be studying the Scriptures on a regular basis in order to become Christ-like. Because the Scripture is very important. It tells us it's given us for reproof, for doctrine, for correction. Amen. Powerful tool. And Jesus, of course, met temptation by what? It is written. Friends, if we're going to overcome the devil, friends, then we need the Word of God. The Word of God is our double-edged sword. Friends, we are engaged in a battle, and God has given us a weapon to defeat the enemy. But if we don't use that weapon, we're not going to defeat the enemy. Amen? Use your weapon. And also, too, as they mentioned in this statement of beliefs, the believer is empowered. Not only by the Spirit of Christ, but empowered by the Word of God, penetrating, cutting through any obstacles towards spiritual growth. Discerning right from wrong. Discerning between the voice of God and the voice of the devil. That's what the Word of God does for us. Let me read that again. Penetrating, cutting through any obstacle towards spiritual growth. In other words, the Word of God helps us to meet the demands of daily challenge. And if we're frustrated and falling back, may consider, have I been spending time in God's Word? How do I know if it's the voice of God or the voice of the devil? Right? You know, because discernment is given through Scripture. Jesus says, if you want knowledge, read my Word. Right? It's the only way. Let me just read this statement found in Desire of Ages 120. Jesus met Satan with the words of Scripture, it is written. He said, in every temptation, the weapon of his warfare was the Word of God. Satan demanded of Christ a miracle as a sign of his divinity. But that which was greater than all miracles, he says. Greater than all miracles. And I'm restating that. Greater than all miracles was a firm reliance upon a thus says the Lord. Powerful to us. Greater than all miracles was the Word of God. Was a sign that could not be controverted. Satan could not fight against the Word of God. So long as Christ held to his position, the tempter could not gain any advantage. You might want to read that one today. Desire of Ages 120. Should we make this a part two? Or should we finish it up today? I am only at number four. And there's three more to go. You guys got time, right? Point number four, a life of prayer. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. I know we talked about this, but again, I learned some insightful things here. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 18, Paul makes six fundamental principles pointed out in this one little verse here of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. I never saw this before. It was a new insight for me. But I've seen these principles in Scripture, but not in one little verse before. Here it is. Prayer is so essential that Paul mentions this in verse 18. Notice this. Pray always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, for all the saints. So powerful is prayer. Paul says this. Pray how often? Always. Right? How often? Always. Pray all the time. Right? And then he says, pray with supplication in the Spirit. In other words, pray in the Spirit. Number two, pray always. Number two, pray in the Spirit. Number three, he goes on, and watching, prayerfully watching, being watchful all the time. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Isn't that what he said? And what was that watching? By praying to God. Prayer is being watchful. Pray always, pray in the Spirit, pray watchfully, and he goes on, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Praying with perseverance, and then finally, praying for what? All the saints. Oh, friends, prayer is a tool by which God doesn't come down to us, but prayer brings us up to God. Amen? And we should be praying for the brethren in the church, and we should be praying for our church. What do you say? Prayer is a powerful tool. We cannot grow in Christ without prayer. Point made. Number five. Point number five, a life of fruit bearing. You know this. I just mentioned this. We talked about it not long ago as well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, you shall know them by their what? You shall know them by their fruits. And Galatians 5, 22 through 26 says, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, patience, peace, joy, in all those things. Friends, if we do not have the marks of the Spirit of Christ within us, which are their fruits, Jesus says, they are not in me. Right? He says, as the vine cannot be part... Well, we better look at it here. John 15, verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4. In John 15, 4, he says, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot, what? The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Here it is. If we are going to bear fruit, then we must be, as Paul mentioned, grafted into the true vine. We must be grafted into Christ. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you what? Abide in me. Friends, a revelation of Christian growth is bearing the fruits of Jesus. Amen? If we're walking around moping, grumpy, angry, hating people, is that the fruit of Christ? No. We need to be grafted in. Right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, temperance, all those things. Galatians chapter 5, if you want to read up on it. We must bear the fruits of Christ. Point number six, we are in a spiritual warfare. And friends, we must be overcoming sin if we're going to be growing in Christ. Isn't that true? Overcoming sin is a defining of our growth in Jesus. Praise God, what I used to do, I'm not doing today. But praise God that what I used to do that God took away, that I'm not just settling down and saying, that's it, I'm done. We must be continuing to overcome and be victorious. That's why Christ gave us the armor in Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? To stand and resist what? Temptation. Resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, Satan is a roaring lion seeking about who he can what? Prowling about seeking whom he may devour. Friends, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare, whether we like it or not. Now we can settle back, take our ease, lay our armor down, or we can take up the armor and get actively involved. But Christian growth is a sign, spiritual warfare is a sign of Christian growth. Now, I don't want you to get this, you may have heard of the spiritual warfare stuff, you know, we end constantly combating the evil forces day in and day out. They're like little germs hiding behind corners ready to attack us or infect us. Friends, that's not the case, all right? If we are in Christ Jesus, we will be overcoming the tempter. How? By the Spirit of Christ, through the Word, and so on and so forth. In other words, start sharpening your sword, amen? Get that thing sharpened up. Study His Word. Spend time in His Word and so forth. Continue the spiritual warfare, but be victorious. How come? Because Jesus overcame, we too can overcome. What do you say? Amen. Now, point number seven, that's the last one. We'll wrap this up here very shortly. They make 3 points. A life of worship, witness, and hope. Growing in Christ is a life of worship, witness, and hope. Now, let me put my own touch on this. First of all, If we're growing in Christ, we must worship the Creator. Amen? If we're going to grow in Christ, we must continue to worship the Creator. And that would include obedience to His law. Amen? Now, a sign of Christian growth is that we love His law, and His law is not what to us? A burden to us, right? We love His law, therefore we want to do His law because of our love for Him. In order to do that, we must worship the one who created the law. Amen? Or established His law. Secondly, if we're going to have a life of worship, we are going to have a life of witness. We are automatically, we will be witnessing to others, right? Let my cup what? Overflow. Isn't that right? We don't just hoard the cup to ourselves. What's overflowing, we share to others. What did Jesus do? When He was at their feeding the multitude, what happened? A little bit of bread, a little bit of fish. He broke those up, and what happened? He began to feed the multitudes. Friends, it's not about hoarding, it's about giving. It's a witness. And finally, the Christian life is a life of hope. We don't walk around going, ho-hum, me, poor is me, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Friends, our life is filled with hope. We anticipate, we look forward to the coming of Jesus. Amen? Now, let me follow along with this. Worship. All right? These three points. We're going to look at these scripturally, and then we're going to wrap it up here. Worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 28. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 through 28. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 28. Hebrews and then the book of James. Hebrews 10:24. He says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? And to good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking," what? "The assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see," what? "The day approaching." I love this scripture because Paul is encouraging church fellowship. Amen? And he's encouraging not to go on your own tangents of worship, but to join in the church. And friends, my conviction is, wholeheartedly, that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination is a church by which God is going to use to usher in the second coming. And I don't know about you, but I believe this is God's true church. And if it's God's true church, then I want to worship and fellowship in it. What do you say?
Amen.
Now, the church may look like it's going to fall apart. The church may look like it's going to sink. But if you remember Paul and Noah, Noah said, "Get into the ark." They don't care about if the thing's going to sink or not. But friends, get into the ark. As we know, the boat made it.
Yes.
Secondly, Paul said, when he was along with those prisoners, aren't we all prisoners? And that great storm came upon them, and the ship started falling apart, and these prisoners and the sailors were about ready to jump ship. He said, "Look, let me tell you something. God said He was bringing His ship home." Amen? And he says, "Any man that gets off this ship is going to die." And it's interesting that Paul floated his way on a piece of the ship to the island. It may look like it's splintered up like toothpicks, but God is going to bring His boat home. Don't get out of the boat. I don't care what it looks like or what's happening. Worship and fellowship in God's church, no matter how bad it looks.
Yes.
And people go off on these tangents and these little circles going in these different places and homes and schools. And, you know, they don't want to worship. And it's babbling. Ah, bah humbug on that. It's not true. Sister White said herself, the church is not Babylon. And if we say the church is Babylon, friends, then you're fighting against God. Is there going to be bad people in the church? Yes, because the church is made for sinners. Amen? You're not always going to have a bunch of bed of roses and a whole lot of saints walking around. The church is made for sinners, and which I am one. And so, friends, I may not get along with you every day. You may not get along with me every day. But praise God for communion. Praise God for forgiveness. Thank God that we have love and care for unity with each other. I can walk up to Brother Luke here and say, "Son, forgive me of my sin." And praise be to God that Luke is going to forgive me. Amen. I can walk to any one of you. If I have offended you or hurted you, I will trust that you will forgive me. But if we don't have that unity, then friends, what's the point of God's church? But I'm not going to leave the church because there's disunity. Amen?
Amen?
Worship is about bringing love. And notice it says how much more important it is as we see the day approaching. You're right? Get in. I like that statement. Forgive me, I'm going to say it. But it says, that bumper sticker my wife always says, every time I get in the car with you, it's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. you know, and I she says, I'm going to get you that sticker. You know, it says, get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on type thing. Sometimes we need to put a sticker on the front of our church door that says something like that. Get in, you know, excuse me for the shut up thing, but hang on, right? Put the seatbelt on. We don't know what's going to happen, but hang on. Because God is going to see us through. What do you say? And friends, we need to have worship and fellowship with you. What a better place to practice forgiveness, amen, than God's church. Amen? Forgive one another. Love your enemies. All right, where'd I leave off? Be a certain, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. So again, God's law is standardized in his church. Amen? Now, how about witness? John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus says, so I have come, so I what? I send you. Friends, there is a direct command for God's people to go out and to be a witness to the world of God's loving mercy and grace back on Calvary. How can you say you're Christ if you don't tell other people about him? Right? That is a true witness. And finally, hope. Hope. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Almost done here. Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Notice Paul here. I'll just read it here. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are what? Before. Where was Paul looking? Was he looking at his past experience, his past problems? Where was he looking? He was looking ahead to the salvation of Jesus and what Christ offers. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, does that sound like Paul has some assurance and some confidence in the salvation that he's going to get when Jesus comes? Yes or no? He's heading towards the prize. What is the prize? The crown of righteousness, eternal life. He's aiming for that. He's hoping for it. He's looking. Friends, if we are to grow in Christ, we are to be hopeful that God can save me, a sinner. We are to be hopeful that with God, all things are possible, that God will bring His church through, that God will take care of me, He will take care of my family, God will take care of all things. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. Oh, friends, where did Paul look? He looked to Christ. If there was a problem in his life, he looked to Christ. If he was struggling with sin or temptation, he looked to Jesus. If the church was having problems, he looked to Christ. And friends, that is our calling today. We must look forward with anticipated hope that God will bless and do something. Now, I'm going to give you a little rebuke here today, if you don't mind. In 5T, Testimonies, Volume 5, notice what she says here. She says, the humble... She says, to the humble, believing soul, to the humble, believing soul, she says this, the house of God on earth is the gate of heaven. Did you hear what she said there? She's calling the church. Now, what are the testimonies to? Who are they? Baptists? Who are they to? Seventh-day Adventists. She's talking about this denomination, this church. I don't know about you, but I believe that Sister White is a prophet for the last days. And she says to the humble, believing, the house of God on earth is the gate of heaven. In other words, friends, it's a means by which God is going to save the world. We are the ministers to the world of the truth of God's word and the promise of His coming. And friends, if we are not hopeful, then we are doing dishonor to God's church and to His name. She goes on to say, the song of praise. How many of you singing songs of praise? The prayer Are we praising and praying to God, the word spoken by Christ's representatives? Who are Christ's representatives today? Who are they? You are. We are. We are Christ's representatives. And what she's saying, we should be praying and we should be praising God. We are God's appointed. In other words, God handpicked. He hand chose you. He said you are appointed agencies to prepare a people for the church above. We are the agency by which the world will know the truth about God's true character. And He has handpicked you to be agents for the kingdom of God. Not long ago, I called because I wanted to go on a vacation, and I called a travel agent. They said, "Where would you like to go?" I said, "You name it, that's where I want to go." No, I didn't say that. But they represented, they said, "You're going to like this place, it's great, it's fantastic, it's wonderful, you're going to like it. How much does it cost? $2 million. Oh, no problem. Put it on my credit card, you know. You're going to love it." Friends, are we that hopeful about where we're going, to the place above, to the people around us? Are we hopeful? Are we praising God? Are we in prayer? No, half the time not. We're not excited about where we're going because our vision is not there. But we are handpicked agents. Agents. People are coming to us to know about what's up there. Oh, man. Are God's appointed agencies to prepare a people for the church above, for that loftier worship into which they can enter nothing that defiles? Wow. In other words, we are agents by which to show the world what sin is. And friends, if we are not overcoming in sin, then we are not telling the world that God, we are telling the world that God cannot free me from sin. Growing in Christ. Did you catch all those principles? Amen. Friends, I want to encourage us today to become Christ's church. I want to challenge you to grow in Jesus from glory to glory. I want to challenge you today to step up to the plate and say yes to the Holy Spirit. And whatever it takes, Lord, bring me home. Let me be an agent for the gospel. Let me be an agent by which people see heaven. Let me be an agent by you, Lord, that you are a God that gives us victory. Help me to grow in grace. And by all means, let there be a smile on my face. Let there be a joy in my heart. Let me have hope and anticipation. Let me be a witness. There's no greater work in this world than to serve Christ. I would rather be a slave to Jesus than a slave to a job. I'd rather be a slave to Christ than a slave to sin. Friends, Christ is calling each of you to grow in Him, to be like Him, so the world can see what it means to be a Christian. Are you prepared for this calling? Are you ready to grow in Jesus? It's not easy. Look what happened to me all this week. It's telling my head elder over there, or one of my elders over at Corning, we had communion this Sabbath, and told him about Megan's finger, and kind of finished that up, and he says, "Well, at least we're having communion tomorrow." So I don't know if he was talking to me or if he was just telling me, reminding me to have communion, but it made me think I need to forgive those that have hurt me, right? And I was kind of upset at this store. All they sent was a letter. We don't cover medical expenses, no real apology, and it's kind of frustrating, you know? But friends, it's not about earthly things. Somebody said, take them to the bank, sue them for hardship and all that stuff. I said, I'd at least like to have them pay the expenses. If they don't, I don't care. And I realized that if I can smile in the face of adversity, I can smile in the face of anything. Right? Let's grow in Jesus and become like Him and prepare the way of our soon coming Jesus. I want to go home. How about you? And I wonder sometimes if God is just waiting, holding back, sitting there. I know He has a time frame, but I believe that He keeps pushing that clock back in hopeful anticipation that we will be ready. He desires none to be lost. He wants us to be like Him. Friends, don't miss out. Get in the boat. Grow in Jesus. Become like Him. Let's go home. Let's pray together. Father, which art in heaven, today we thank you for this message of hope. We thank you that you have placed a burden upon this church to add a fundamental number 28, and you've placed it in the right place, number 11, to grow in Jesus. I know it's discouraging at times that we as a congregation have labeled things to be true, and yet we don't follow them ourselves. We're lights to the world, and we have failed in our testimony, our witness, and our hope. I pray that we would take these principles with us today, that wherever we go, we will truly be a light of you, Jesus, and a light to the world. Help us to grow in your merits. Help us to grow in your love. Help us to grow in you, Jesus. Forgive us where we have fallen. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Heal our hands. Heal our minds. Heal our hearts. Heal our church, Lord. Prepare us for your soon return. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us everything so that we can grow in you. Oh, Lord, I long to see you in your full glory. And I pray that you would help each of us to see you face to face. Come now into our hearts and forgive us from where we have fallen, and truly make us like you. Bless us this hour in Jesus' precious name. Amen.